Here's a little story I like to tell about four bad brothers you know so well. They had a little segment back in history with Carmen, Yurko, Wildo, and Sylvie. That's right, motherfuckers, Crosstalk is back. But you can only hear it if you have this app. ESPN 1000 Chicago. Look under Wildo and Sylvie, or Carmen and Yurko. Uncut, uncensored, and never discreet. You will like this as much as Carmen likes feet. 30 minutes of talking shit amongst friends. Crosstalk unhinged. Let the show begin.
What the fuck is up? Welcome into another Crosstalk Unhinged. We took last week off for the Thanksgiving holiday. Hope everyone had a fantastic holiday. We are all here except the good kid.
Where is the good kid?
That fucking guy's golfing again.
Is it good for him?
Was this a late vacation day call because of the weather?
We worked last Friday, so we're entitled to a day off because we worked on a holiday. But I guess the rule stipulates you have to take it like within 2 weeks. So he saw 60 on the calendar for today, and he's like, fuck you guys, I'm going to play golf.
Good for him.
I can't say I blame
him. For him.
We're not going to get many 60s left, so.
It feels great out there.
Unbelievable. I didn't even bring a coat today. I left the house at 7 o'clock. I didn't even bring a coat.
Get you.
Yeah,
you are a mountain man. You got the beard's growing back in.
Soon.
Are you?
Doesn't he look like Kevin Stefanski? I always think they have the beards are very similar.
Yeah. Stefanski's got a good beard. Mine's not quite as good.
Yours is a little scraggly, a little longer. The hair is.
The grays, though, he's got the grays kind of like you.
Yeah, that's true. I'm shaving
soon.
Doesn't
it itch?
No, you keep it conditioned. It doesn't.
No?
No.
What do you mean keep it conditioned? Like you put some lotions on it?
Put a conditioner in it in the shower, and then I have Duke Cannon beard balm. And
Excuse me?
Like beard balm. And you put the beard balm in. Smells nice.
You said balm, right?
Balm, yeah.
I thought you said ball.
No, I said dick. I mean, what did you think I said? I said balm. I said beard balm.
Time out. I can have a harder trouble differentiating between balm and ball than balm and dick.
Okay, you said beard ball. I got it.
I thought you said
beard balm. And so, it doesn't itch too bad. It really doesn't. You know when it itches? With the mask on. When something's pressing up against it, like, then it itches a little bit more. But, like, right now, as it's breathing, it's great. But I am going to shave soon, though, because we're going on vacation somewhere warm here during the holidays. And, I'm not going to have it being in a warm place.
No. Will you shave the rest of your body for the vacation?
I clip my chest hairs because they're embarrassing otherwise.
Mine are the same.
Yeah, so I do.
But then you got, like, I noticed that in Tampa. Then you got stubble on your chest.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I don't like that. So
that's
let my chest grow and I shave everywhere else.
I just don't have chest hair. It's embarrassing. You know,
it's not embarrassing. It's just
little hairs around my nipples.
Yeah, I got those too.
Fucking disgusting.
The nipple hair is disgusting. Yeah,
it's almost like dental floss. It's like long and thin and gross.
It's gross.
Wispy, right?
It's very wispy. Good call.
It is. Yeah. I'll trim that down. You got to be careful
with that, because if you clip a nipple, those things bleed forever.
But when I get back from vacation.
Experience?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. You've never clipped a nipple?
No. Do we want
trimming?
I have.
Trimming your nipple hairs?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I will grow the beard back once we get back, though. By the end of the year,
Merck
maybe I'll grow it out through the winter.
Yeah.
I'll grow it back.
Yeah, yeah. And we played that Trey Tunes song earlier. Don't forget, we're getting down to the nitty-gritty in the holiday parody song contest. I don't know if you guys – well, I know Waddle did. I don't know if you heard this, Carm. We were playing songs on the fly. Then the boys were pulling them from the computer on the fly.
Yep.
We played a really good one. I don't know if JR could find it. Because he's with Merkin. I know Merkin can't find it. Call Mimi Abdallah in here. Yeah. We played a song yesterday that was about everyone at the station. Mm. How did it start out? About Cap?
It
started out about Cap and Hoodie, then Carmen and Yurko. And then at the end, they were talking about me gambling and losing, as I often have. And then his
we were humming along, snapping our fingers.
Right, and it was a good song. And then the clincher line was, and we were playing this live on the air, was, Sylvie, stop shitting your pants.
That's all.
So
And I knew that line was coming because you know how the rhyming. And I was wondering how he was going to censor it. And then when I heard on the air,
he
it was like Family Feud.
Yeah, everybody's reaching for the dumb button.
Oh, my God. And we just went crazy.
Should play it on Crosstalk Unhinged.
You didn't reach for the dumb button.
I can't remember. I can't remember the last time I reached for the dumb button.
We did. Yurko and I had to the other day. Some guys dropped an F-bomb.
I know.
Did you hear when I swore imitating you?
I heard about it, yes.
I've not ever done that in my 20-plus year career at this radio station until that day.
Do you really think you said fuck or you said fuck?
It was like the C, not the K.
Fuck.
Right, JR. The C, not the K.
I heard that Black and Abdallah sent a song to the boss, Keith Williams, for like approval. Get approved?
He wants us to hear it.
Oh.
I like when the boss is like, hey, I want you guys to hear it.
Oh, really?
I'm like, ooh, boss, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, you don't want to give us those decisions.
Well.
Because, I would never hit the dump button.
We're used to people telling us no.
That's right. True. Committee of no.
Yeah, so
I hate the committee.
And then,
no.
I loved being owned by ESPN, but we had a different set of standards when it was the mouse.
Yeah.
So now
we're free.
Yeah.
Fuck.
I mean, we can.
This podcast is a good indicator of that.
That's true. We're free.
The great sign. Great scene from They take over. They have a frat.
Old school,
fraternity.
Yeah, old school.
And they tell him, he gives it earmuffs, and then Will Ferrell just goes. It's like that was me as a 10-year-old.
Yeah.
You could get away with saying something, a swear. It was the best.
What do you think of Vince Vaughn on Curb as a cast member? So I think he fits in nicely.
I haven't seen Curb yet this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I got it. You know,
year as a cast member, but I think he's flawlessly fits in right now.
Wait, when was he on a previous season?
Last year. Yeah.
Why don't I even remember that?
He's taking on even more of a role now after Bob Eisenstein died.
Bob Einstein, yes.
Bob Einstein, what do they call
him? Eisenstein.
Bob Einstein, yeah. Einstein?
I don't know.
So anyway.
That's Albert Brooks' brother.
Right, yeah. Right. And they had Albert Brooks on the first.
Oh, did they?
And there was a funeral scene. I wonder if they were all tied together.
Oh, wait. Vince Vaughn plays a Funkhauser, doesn't he?
He plays a Funkhauser.
Okay. So I haven't seen it yet this year.
So Bob Einstein played Bob.
Marty Funkhauser.
Marty Funkhauser.
Yeah.
And so he plays.
Has it been good? I've heard Curb's been good.
His nephew, I think.
Has it been good?
It's been fantastic.
Yeah, I love it. I got to get into it.
Going from the third episode on, the first two, the less, in my opinion, that they do about the theme of the year. Like, whenever they go back to the theme of the year, it doesn't bog it down, but it's not as funny. Like, and when they just do a show that just could be completely absurd...
Not like COVID related.
Oh my God. I watched a couple more episodes last night of The Shrink Next Door. It's on Apple Plus. I only have one child left at home and she's 18. So I don't have to worry about any of that other fucking child stuff. I did all that.
Been there, done that.
You've earned it.
It's Paul Rudd plays the part of a therapist.
Oh, yeah.
And Will Ferrell. It's dark.
Is it?
But it's so well acted. Paul Rudd is so good in his role. And Will Ferrell is as well. My wife and I were watching last night. My wife was just like, I hate this show. But not because it's not good, but because like there's an element of it that makes you hate one of the people in it.
Really?
Which I think is the essence of a good show.
Sure.
But there's so much good stuff on right now. It's crazy.
Yeah, well, there's so much content out there.
I think you should do a TV podcast.
Yeah, you should.
Your recommendations have gotten really good. All the shows that I've watched and enjoyed are all Waddle recommendations. He's way ahead of the curve.
Way ahead.
Have you seen Mayor of Kingstown yet?
No, I saw
the last episode of that one as well.
What's that on?
That's on
Paramount.
On Paramount Plus.
Is that another one you gotta pay for?
I had to pay
$49.
So my wife, we were sitting there watching that two nights ago, and she's like, "It costs $4.99 with commercials, $10 without commercials."
$10.
Yeah.
Here's this guy.
It's so crazy.
Here's this guy who reviews fucking bourbon every week, and he's like, "Here's another bottle of bourbon. By the way, this one's $120. By the way, this is $60. But go get it. It's a good different, little bit of a different taste, little bit of a different this." That a hint of this,
but it lasts 2-3 years. That bottle,
okay. Well, so does TV. You pay $49 for the whole year of all these shows on one station. So I'm like, I look at it as buying different bottles of booze. I have Apple TV, I have Netflix, I have Paramount Plus, I have Hulu. And when I'm in the mood for something different, I go to the
pick
bar.
And, choose,
and I like, so I will why, say, why, I stop, now? Sand. Why
I will,
stop now?
I gotta take a stand.
I will say this bullshit. As well. Paramount Plus, the only show that's on there that really I would go to is Mayor of Kingstown. So I'm paying for $10 a month for one show
now. How much do you pay for a fight?
I don't pay for
fights. Well, I know, but you know what I mean. Like $49 still.
It's worth it.
I got nothing to think about Showtime. Showtime I have, Succession. No, Succession's HBO.
That's HBO.
Am I only paying for Showtime
for billions?
I don't know. Billions is on Amazon Prime. That's how we're watching Billions now.
Yeah.
Really? Which I got to say.
Amazon Prime, you can get like all of.
Oh, really? So I should cancel my Showtime?
Amazon Prime, we watch on, I'm sorry, Billions.
Because I have Amazon Prime.
Yeah, that we have.
See, this is what
I got to be honest. I feel like I'm wasting time with Billions. I mean, it's fine. But,
in the moment when it was out, now there's even greater shows out there.
Yes, that's a good point.
Like
In its infancy, four years ago, five years ago. There weren't as many options.
And the thing about Billions, my opinion, what made it great is what it falls victim to. It moves so quickly and it tries to surprise you so often that the surprises become unsurprising and sort of predictable.
It's basically the same script in a sense. Not the dialogue, but it follows a very formulaic pattern.
All of these shows at some point reach the end of their shelf life. They just do. And I'll give you another example of one of them. Did you ever watch Ray Donovan?
No.
Fantastic fucking show.
I tried a little bit. I heard it was awesome.
I loved it. There's like 8 seasons.
That's a Showtime show, right?
Yeah. Yes. And he's coming back. It's a movie. There's a Ray Donovan movie. Like season 7 and into 8, it just like how can the story be different after a certain period of time? And then they get raw with it, and it's just, it gets boring.
Here's what I like about Billions, though, even through all the years, is there's no clear-cut person you're rooting for. It changes, sort of. There's no good guy, bad guy, because they're all sort of bad.
Yeah, I agree.
But then you start rooting for Bobby Axelrod after rooting against him in one season, and then you love when they're friends. Are you in the season when they're buddies?
We're in that now. Like, he helps him get the Attorney General's office.
And then, you know.
But he's a fucking asshole.
That's kind of what's cool about it, though.
I use the show.
But Axelrod's an asshole. I mean, it's almost like
good
too
actor,
much.
Though. Damian Lewis
he
is a good actor.
Actor. Yeah. Like, what he did, you know, with the episode we just watched, I don't know if you guys remember this, but where he fucks the, figuratively, he fucks over one of the kids that, whose dad he worked with that he put through college with the fund. Remember, he takes him out on the fishing boat?
And it's like,
you motherfucker. Like, that shit, like, I know Wall Street's pretty cutthroat, but come on, that happens? I mean, does that happen?
Well, it's not a documentary.
Yeah, some of it.
I mean, it's a little bit too much. Like, you're going to go ruin a key. You already fucked all your old partners.
Yes.
And now you're going to fuck the kid? I mean, it's like, come on. It's a little much.
That, to me, was a show that was fun to go to sleep to. Like, you'd watch if it's on during the football season, you watch football all day, you watch the Sunday night game, and if the Sunday night game starts to wane, you get away from it, and then you go watch Billions.
Like last Sunday night.
Yeah.
Jesus, that fucking game.
It's crazy.
Best move I made all week.
Oh.
And I've had a tough week. The best move I've made all week was I looked at that game and I said, I'm not watching tonight.
Good.
I'm going upstairs early. I'm going to get to Curb right away. Going to get to Succession right away.
Was that Browns and Ravens?
Browns and Ravens. Horrible.
Not one play.
Awful.
I didn't see one play of that game.
You didn't miss anything.
I know. I saw the highlights.
Awful.
It was awful.
It was a good, like.
And the Monday night game wasn't much better. I mean, at least there was some drama at the end. But that game was shit, too.
Here's the essence of how, and again, my units in gambling are $5, $10. I had a parlay in this game.
Don't laugh at someone's unit.
I'm not, but I'm
Mr. Gambler over there.
It was funny. I just do it for fun, Carm. Like, I get $100 in my fucking...
If I had his bankroll, do you know what my fucking...
Oh, shut your mouth.
Would be, goddamn it.
But that's why he's got his bankroll.
Maybe that is.
Because he only is gambling $10.
Okay, so I have a $10 parlay. I've got Russell Wilson to throw 2 touchdowns.
Oh, God.
And Taylor Heineke to throw for 225 yards or more.
Or more, okay.
The Washington football team gets down to the 3-yard line. It's fourth down. Their kicker's fucking hurt. So what do?
They go for it.
They go for it. He's sitting on 223 passing yards. I need is for this touchdown to go in. 3 yards, it gets me to 226.
And they ruled it a touchdown.
Touchdown.
Review.
It was reviewed. Yeah. The ball hit the ground. Yeah. So instead of 226.
Did you celebrate at first in real time?
I was just getting a fist pump. I mean, it was $10 to win $24.
But still.
It's not about the money. My wife busts my balls all the time. I'd be in the other room watching television, and I'd be like, boom!
How much did you bet?
She's like, what happened? I said, back in the baseball season, I said, Anthony Rizzo just hit a home run. bet cash is in my parlay. She's like, well, how much was it? I said, I bet $5, win 25. She goes, get the fuck out of here.
That's the best. That is the absolute greatest.
She's like, you're such a fucking loser.
That's yeah, you still get a rush, like you said.
No doubt, it's about winning.
And that did suck, because they called it a touchdown, and then they took it back.
It wasn't even the touchdown. I needed the yards. Now,
well,
I,
right, that's true.
What you I need, needed, but I needed
saying,
so many
if
things.
If it stands, you get the yards.
Right, yeah. And then Russ was sitting on one touchdown pass. He led them on that last-minute drive.
Yeah.
So he gets the extra touchdown, and if you remember, it was like 19-17, so they go for two. If you go for two, I'm in, because then you go to overtime.
Yeah, you go to overtime. And he missed
the
guy.
Missed it two points. Like, the essence of gambling was on full display.
Let me ask you guys this, speaking of all that. As I ducked out of the Sunday game, and I didn't watch much of Monday either. Good I forget, was there a Bulls game on too?
The Hornets game was on, yeah.
So I was focused on Bulls.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, I'm like, as much as we love football, as much as we crave the NFL, I know you've always said, like, I got tired of football when it was on Tuesday last year during COVID. And you're like, you can never have too much football. Are we getting to the point now where we get the extra week now and there are so many bad matchups? Where, like, tonight's not a great matchup
either.
Well,
because the injuries.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, that a lot of these teams are down. Like, the Seahawks normally would be a fun watch on a Monday night, but they're playing so bad.
Yeah, but as you said to me, listen, it's there for you if you want it. If you don't want it, you don't have to watch it. It's the essence of 162 baseball games.
I'm not asking you to cancel them. I'm saying I'm finding myself, at least, picking and choosing more where in the past it would be a for sure I'm in.
Yeah, no,
it's football, I'm in, and now I'm making some choices.
Well, you're
choices.
Week 11 now, so like the novelty of the starting of the season, you've got a team that isn't any good playing another team that's under 500. Like, there's no allure to that.
We're going to have a 19-week season soon, let's face
no
it.
Doubt.
So those scenarios will present themselves more often. I think, Sylvie, you're probably right. There are just going to be some dog matchups. Yeah. Okay, so you throw a few in the garbage. I mean, most of it's good. Sundays are still great. I mean,
I loved Sunday.
It's the ultimate. I mean, like, it's still great. Yeah, there are going to be some horseshit games. It's inevitable. Injuries happen, you know, in this league. And that's how it tonight
you're
stinks.
Watching.
I mean, like, there's no amount of Sean Payton magic that can help them right now. They're decimated.
You're watching
offense.
The Sunday night game between the Ravens and the Browns for two reasons. Either you're chasing and you're trying to win a little of the money you lost earlier in the day back, or you're hoping that you're going to see a magnificent effort from Lamar Jackson because he's a
fantasy.
Unique player.
Or fantasy.
So, I mean, there is an element to it that, like, the only reason I was watching the Monday night game with Washington and Seattle was I had a $10 parlay.
Yeah.
That was it.
The only reason, honestly, I put it on late after the Bulls game was because in my pick five pool, I did have the Seahawks. So that was the interest for me. Can the Seahawks cover the one? And they lost by fucking two. Go figure.
It's amazing the way they create these.
That's lines. The only reason I was watching the end of that game. So, I mean, you're right. I mean, it's like, okay, the Bulls are over. I had fun watching
like tonight
the Bulls.
You got Hawks and Knicks.
Yeah.
I mean, Bulls, Knicks, Hawks, and Caps. Both on the East Coast, so early start.
I haven't watched the Hawks in a really long time.
Me neither.
Sorry, Pat Boyle, but I have not. They just haven't drawn
They lost
attention.
Me early, and then with the controversy, and I know they played better under Derek King, right?
Yeah, under Derek King.
They're coming back.
They're still
to,
not that good. Yeah.
No, I know Yurko always gives me the update. They're not a point per game team yet, guys.
And
that's his
then,
measuring stick.
Even then, you're not good.
What do you guys think's happening on Sunday on the lakefront? I know the weather's going to be bad, but I was telling you guys coming in that I just did a little look-see at the Cardinals, and I know they're 9-2, and I know the basics. I know the skim the surface stuff, but when you go deeper into who they are and what they've been, they're 6-0 on the road.
Yep.
Like, they've won all their road games by double digits, I think. They're top 5 in yards allowed and points allowed. You can run it on them a little bit.
Their DVOA is excellent.
But are they going to stop Kyler from running if Roquan Smith is not there?
Great question.
The weather might prevent him from running a little bit. If it's Tracy Butler said, there should be some rain, and it could be, you know, we know what that feels
like
when there's
some
rain.
I'd take the tarp off that field and turn the fucking sprinklers on Saturday night.
During the rain, yeah.
You know, Saturday night. Just turn them on. Yeah. Make it a
mud puddle.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of those cheat code guys, right? Isn't he? I mean, he is. He's just in.
They got Christian Kirk. They've got AJ Green. They've got DeAndre Hopkins. Like that threesome. And
although Green's a shell of himself,
but he's still. You know what? You can still get something out of him.
You get 50 to 60 yards a game out of him.
Yeah. You get Chase
Edmonds.
They got
Ertz now. I mean, you get Zach Ertz,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, you get Ertz,
you know,
back.
Ertz,
I mean,
is
like,
still a weapon.
I don't see how the Bears keep this inside a touchdown without, like, a monsoon.
I don't know. I mean, without...
Unless he's rusty, right? That's the only... Because the Bears are good for what? 16 to 22 points, 23 points.
I can't see 23 points against this Cardinal defense. They rush the passer well.
You can run it on
them a
little
bit.
They
take the ball away. Yeah, they do. They give up like 4.7 yards per carry, but... And like, they travel. Something I would have never guessed before the season, that they would be a team that traveled away from Arizona.
And they've done
and played
it
well
with Colt McCoy in a couple of those games. Think about that.
The three games he's played, two of the three, he's been fantastic.
I know. Yeah. And I can't figure the Bears. I can't. I mean, the whole thing is just that
they're bad.
They're just bad. You know, like, he's bad. Nagy's bad. I mean, you know, I heard
Cap and Jonathan going through, I think it was on Monday, like, I think they were trying to determine on the rest of the schedule who the Bears are better than. They're not better than anybody. Let's get this straight. Like, they lost to the Baltimore Ravens without their starting quarterback, without two of their starting receivers. I mean, they have found ways to lose to bad teams. They're not better than anybody.
Are they going
to
be favored against anybody?
They'll probably be favored at home against the Giants, I would think, because that's a home game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Giants
game's
here.
Tell me they're better than the Giants? They're not. They're the same.
They're in the same class.
Yeah.
I'd say they're the same. They might be, they got to go to Seattle, so they probably won't be favored in that game. They'll be a small dog in that game. Look Ahead has them as an 11-point underdog next week against the Packers on Sunday night.
Yeah. I'm not telling you they're not going to win another game.
No, I know
what
you mean.
But you can't look at them and go, hey, we can pick spots here. And I know the good kid was just doing a mental exercise with how they can get to the postseason, but
there's
no fucking chance.
And then, you know, we didn't play it today. We might try to play it tomorrow. I don't know if you guys heard Frank Reich. I mean, he was kind of getting, you know, he defended some of the play calling because from Sunday, you know, they had a huge stretch where
they didn't run the ball.
And, like, when you listen, we should play.
Yeah, can you call it up?
Can you find that Frank Reich
sound? Let me guess. He sounds like he's got full command of everything.
Tommy, I'm telling you, and that's why I told Jeff to put it in the system. I'm like, we should play it. They're from the same tree. They were in the same room together. Like, how is it that Nagy, it almost sounds like he doesn't know what he's talking about. Like, I know he knows football. I don't mean to suggest that. He doesn't understand, like, conceptually what an offense should be, I guess, because how could that be? He played at a high level. He coached with Andy Reid. Like, what the fuck?
But you know, guys.
When you hear Frank Reich, you go, you're like, whoa.
Well,
like,
listen, we've all, at any level you've played in any sport, you've all come across guys or gals that were fantastic practice players, but when the lights get bright and things are on the line, they're not so good.
That's true.
He may be the best coach in the NFL from Monday through Saturday.
No, he's not.
But when Sunday comes along, it all goes sideways.
It's crazy.
It all goes sideways. And again, I'm just exaggerating. I don't know how good he is in weekly preparation or not, but when it comes to Sunday, there is a total lack of control of any situation.
Well, do you guys remember, too, in the coaching search that year when they were going for Nagy, when they decided on Nagy, there were three guys off the Andy Reid tree in some way, shape, or form. It was Nagy, it was Frank Reich through Doug Peterson,
who
was the offensive coordinator but didn't call plays, and then it was John DeFilippo, who's now on the Bears staff, who was a hotter coaching commodity than Frank Reich.
Yeah.
Nagy was the hottest. The Colts wanted Nagy. The Bears wanted Nagy. They went to Frank Reich only after Josh McDaniels fell through.
Right.
Like, it was an afterthought even, too, because everyone's like, oh, Frank Reich. I mean,
that's true.
Doug Peterson's calling the plays. DeFilippo's the quarterback's coach who's working with Foles and with Carson Wentz. So what's this Reich? I know Reich played and was... Had some really good moments. 35-3 in that Houston game.
He had a good career in the NFL.
Yeah. So
I'll text Meller and see if
isn't it funny?
Did you find it?
See, and I texted you guys this, that if Carson Wentz would have been dealt, and say what you want, like you said, about Frank Reich not running the ball enough.
You texted this.
Carson Wentz would have been traded to the Bears, he would already be benched. And his career would basically be over as a starter.
He texted us.
But Frank Reich has put him in a position where he still will have the boom goes the dynamite plays, going to throw lefty.
He's functional.
But look at it. I bet you his numbers would surprise you. if you saw.
Oh, no.
I think his quarterback rating for a stretch, he had five straight games of a quarterback rating over 100. I think there are too many interceptions on that total, but yeah, I think he's got good numbers.
And if you look at that offense in totality,
it
since
works
week,
right.
And since week four, they're like. They're top three in EPA per play, guys.
Yeah, well, what do you think his touchdown to interception is?
Oh, I'm going to say
3-1, 22-7.
That's a little better.
Maybe 22-10.
I don't know that he has 22, does he? I'm going to say 17-5.
Waddle was close, but okay. Not giving him enough credit on the picks. 21 touchdowns, 5 interceptions.
Okay. So I hit the interceptions on the head.
21-5 with Matt Nagy. That's the essence of, okay, Carson Wentz has talent. We've seen it. We've seen before the injuries got talent with the Eagles. Frank Reich puts some guys in really good positions.
Again, he manages him.
Right.
Yeah.
And together, they have found a way to salvage Carson Wentz's career and make that team a competitive, contending team. The Bears do the opposite of that.
Yeah, I know.
And how did they also do it? Not only is Reich a good coach, but they've also got a good setup for him. You've got a stout offensive line, and you have a dedication to a running game, and you do run the ball, which takes some pressure off of him, so he doesn't have to do it all by himself, which is good coaching and good team, putting your team together. So, I think you guys are right. I think it's a good football team
down there.
It's not a great team. They're well coached, and he's getting the most out of guys, and he's putting Carson Wentz in position to take advantage of some of the things he does do well.
Not only did Wentz come off the bad year with the Eagles, didn't he sprain both ankles at the beginning of the year?
Yeah.
We're talking about the injuries that he dealt with, and he's 21-5 right now.
He had foot surgery, didn't he, to start the season?
He did in the preseason, I believe, didn't he?
Yeah, so he was delayed in the preseason,
and then he
sprained two ankles in a game.
They lost, and he played when they played the division game on the road against Tennessee, but he was not very good. They lost that game. The game that that's going to haunt them was when they blew it at home against Tennessee.
Yes.
They blew that game. They were up two touchdowns, and they fucked up that game.
Was that the lefty throw?
Yes. And then he threw a pick in overtime in a short field, and the Titans kicked a field goal and won.
Which is the reason.
Those two losses are going to haunt them, especially that one, because look what Tennessee's going through
now. Which is the reason why, like you said, there are too many boom goes the dynamite moments where he can't. I don't think he can take you to a Super Bowl because he's going to make a mistake in a key situation.
Yeah.
But the point you're making is the valid one, is that in Indianapolis, they've taken a broken player and they've gone a long way towards fixing him.
Right.
And the Bears couldn't do that.
And Matt Nagy does the opposite.
Yeah.
I think Matt Nagy takes some capable players and breaks them. Like, I really do. Like Nick Foles, we've seen Nick Foles function. So, like, if Frank Reich would have Nick Foles in his offense,
I wonder.
I think they would.
I'm with Sylvie.
I don't think he would be a star, but I think they could get stuff out of him. But Nagy thinks, oh, I know Nick Foles. I know what he's good at. And he's made him shit. And he's making Justin Fields shit. And he's making Andy Dalton shit.
Well, Andy.
60 points.
I know.
16 points.
I'm with Sylvie, though. I think Nick Foles was a victim of, like, look, Nick played poorly as well, but there was no running game. There was no commitment to running the game. He was getting thrashed the way that Mitch Trubisky was. Again, I'm not trying to convince you that Nick Foles can lead you somewhere. I don't think he's nearly as bad a player as you saw from him because of what was the situation he was in. And you heard him in a very polite Nick Foles way.
Yeah, oh yeah, you're right.
Resist some of the shit that he was experiencing.
Yeah. Yeah. Think about it, that you put Mitch here with Nagy here, a quarterback who doesn't make anyone better and a coach who doesn't make anyone better, and it's disaster.
Any wonder?
You take Carson Wentz, who's shown some flashes, with a coach who knows, put them together, and it could turn into some winning.
Could be a playoff team.
Yeah. It could be, yeah.
We've got the opposite of that.
Yeah.
Now look, I think the Colts can beat someone in the early rounds of the playoffs. I don't believe they're a true Super Bowl contender, but they could. If they got on a run and they were healthy, I think they could beat someone.
They're not even in the playoffs right now.
No,
we should
know
that. But there is a difference when you watch them, flat out.
If you're comparing them to us, you have hope that...
Absolutely.
That, and you don't have hope.
They've exponentially greater.
They've got the better coach. They've got the better general manager. They got the better stadium. They got the better owner.
Yeah.
there's
a reason why.
Other than that, it's still Indy. Yeah.
It's crazy,
I guess.
And that's why yesterday, Carm, before we wrap up, I said to Wild, we were asking listeners, like, this Fire Nagy chant, and you texted us about. I've never seen anything like
it. Never.
game to game, sporting event to sporting event, it's taken on a life of its own.
Yep.
And it's going to, this is going to be very interesting in a game like this against the Cardinals. Now, since it's continued to get bigger, how big will it get? But it doesn't cover what needs to be covered, because we know Nagy is just scratching the surface. We know Pace sucks. We know Ted Phillips sucks. So people have suggested the chant to do is sell the team.
I heard you guys talking about that.
And like, I get it. They're not selling. But if George is sitting in his box with his mom and that entire family, and they're coming after them now, and not the coach, now all of a sudden it's on your doorstep instead of it being on Matt Nagy's doorstep.
Then it comes down to how much does he care?
I think he cares.
I do, too.
I also think they've made up their mind.
I mean, do,
did
too.
Did you guys see over the weekend that one of the – it wasn't Prisco. One of the other CBS – not Lacanfora.
I agree with it.
He had in his notes that – he wrote it. He goes, it might not be today, it might not be tomorrow, but he wrote, Matt Nagy will be fired by January 10th. You've got other guys reporting it at this point.
For the first time in maybe ever. Because Ted's been there how long?
21 years?
No, 22, since 22? The 1999
season.
Yeah,
I finally believe that there is a true appetite for significant change up there.
Wow.
And I think the breadcrumb for me is the move out of Soldier Field to Arlington Heights, that they are doing business differently. I do believe that George is bothered by all that's going on, including the losing and some of the booing and the chanting. But I don't think it's just going to be Nagy. I believe for the first time that there really is a significant chance that they move Ted Phillips into a different part of the building because he knows he's
the stadium,
not,
right?
That they're not going to fire Pace upwards.
Right. No, you don't think so?
I don't anymore. Okay. I don't think that if they do, they're playing with fire again because you can't allow him to hire the general manager to fix the job that he couldn't do well. That makes no sense.
Let's go hire a new GM.
Maybe you push him into another. But I really think that there is a chance now, finally, that they will have a new president, a new GM, and a new coach heading into 2022. Maybe that's just drunken optimism.
It'll provide some excitement, too. They probably need it, guys. Let's face it. I mean, I think we all know that.
And then, of course, all the baseball talk all over our shows. I know we didn't get to it. We talked some good TV show stuff, some good manscaping stuff again.
You want to hear it real
some
quick?
Some good football.
Merck, can you find 11-30 Reich? How hard was that, Merck? I mean, geez.
Yeah, he just fired.
He's signing some books back there. By the way, we're going to be at the Howard Street Inn on Friday. If you're listening to this before, Howard Street Inn and Niles on Howard Street, obviously, will be there 2 to 6. Merck is going to join us. He's going to have some books if you want to buy the book. And don't forget, behindtheglassthebook.com to get this award winner.
Howard Street Inn is a great old place, too. That's a fun place.
Yeah, I shit my pants right before the Howard Street. Right. You've heard that story, right?
Oh, yeah.
We're hoping he does it again.
Wow, come on. Who doesn't love a good Sylvie shitting his pants?
All right, Carm, I got it.
All right, real quick. You guys just want to hear it real quick. Like, this is
how he's got a handle on it.
Addressing, like, how come you took so long at certain points in that game to hand the ball off to Jonathan Taylor? Listen. Maybe.
Yeah. This is kind of a philosophical thing. And I realize not everybody will agree with this and not everybody will like it, but this is just kind of who we are and who we're going to continue to be. Because when you're a one-back offense and you have to find creative ways to handle all the run blitzes, because we have Jonathan Taylor in the offensive line, we have teams get very creative and run blitzes and in heavy boxes. So one of the ways to combat that is formationally to do things. Another way is RPOs. And then so we're going to continue to not major in RPOs, but it's going to be a part of what we do. I'll just give you the numbers on those in the second half. We had 6 RPOs in the second half that were called runs to Jonathan that ends up getting thrown. And on those plays, we averaged 7 yards a play. We averaged 7 yards a play. So one thing that I think is important to note, that it's interesting about RPOs. They're throws, but you're calling the run. And if you average 7 yards a play on a run, you're going to be real happy with that. And I'm really happy with the productivity of our RPO game. It's been exceptional, and it was exceptional in this game as well. Incomplete, plus 15, plus 11, plus 7, incomplete, plus 7. That's almost 7 yards a play. So happy with that.
There's actually about another minute to that, too. We cut it off a little short.
No, but it's confidence. Heard, it makes you comfortable and confident.
Good explanation.
Answer something
not
like
that. Not word salad. It was actually a concrete, it was like, here's why we do this.
Guys, you might not agree with it, but philosophy, like our organizational philosophy right now, like let me tell you why this is how we do it.
Right.
And I'll try to make
six
it in layman's
RPOs
terms.
That were all turned into passes based on the looks that you get.
And they average 7 yards a play. And like, so not only are they doing things that make them successful, and they played a tight game with a very good team. They scored 31 points against a pretty good defense, right? And it's like, have you ever heard Matt Nagy give an answer like that? Never.
No.
And that goes back to our point, what we were talking about before, and you guys have said it forever. And it's almost like, is he capable of giving an answer like that? I don't know. He should be. They were in the same fucking room together. Off the same tree. I don't get it. But I don't know. It's just. It's,
we know. Like, we know. We do know.
Yeah. It's frustrating.
We know.
I'm
it's,
sorry. Yeah. So anyway.
All right.
So, all right, boys. Good stuff. Are we locking it out?
Lock it out. You lock it out.
Why don't you go fuck yourself, Tommy?